Welcome to A Cast of Ice and Fire, the official Game of Thrones podcast of MovieMingler.com. I'm Nick of the House Stark, and I'm joined by Chris of the House Targaryen.
Howdy. A
very uneventful episode this week of Game of Thrones.
Did anything happen?
Not really. So today we are talking about Game of Thrones Season 8, Episode 5, The Bells, the penultimate episode of the final season
of
Game of
Thrones. Now we're going to do this without spoilers, right? So we'll basically just say stuff happens, but anyone can listen to this pod and they don't have to worry about being spoiled.
It was good, stuff happened.
There you go.
The end.
Thank you. So where can you find us?
Now we're going to talk spoilers because you have to talk spoilers, but the whole world has seen it by now. And if you're listening to a Game of Thrones podcast, you've already watched it.
Yep.
I mean, the whole world has seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think every week it's like 100 million people download it and watch it illegally and legally. And like hundreds of millions of people watch the show. Mm-hmm. It's hands down the most watched show like ever now. Mm-hmm. Like it is. Cultural icon and only two episodes. No, only one episode left. And I'm getting sad thinking about it. So anyway, today we're talking about Season 8, Episode 5, The Bells. Like I said, we're going to talk spoilers, so be warned. Let's get straight into it, I guess.
Let's go for it.
Lots of controversy with this episode, with fans not happy, but
Some of the reviews I read, even like some of the good reviewers like even asked like if they hated Game of Thrones after this episode. Some people mentioned it might have been the worst Game of Thrones episode ever.
Baffling. Baffling.
I watched it, and I think it's, I mean, without getting to the spoiler part yet.
Oh, you can spoil it. You can spoil.
Yeah, but I know, we'll get into it more. I don't want to. Oh, like, you want to get back, okay. It was the big twist. If you can call it a twist, I think you'd said you'd expected you've expected it for a few seasons. We talked about this last week and kind of expected it, and I've been talking about it all season. I don't think it ruined anything for me. I actually loved this episode. I thought it was one of the best TV episodes I've ever seen.
Of any show?
Yeah, it was actually incredible.
That's the crazy thing, because I agree with you. When I was watching it, I didn't know the response yet. Mm. I saw a little bit of the trolls online, but who fucking cares about these trolls? They got no
right. I knew it would be divisive. I just remember watching it, just thinking this is like technically amazing. The battle was much better than the
slash
the
massacre
against the night. It was a tragic fight, and I get it. All sort of depends on this one kind of moment, this one twist that a lot of people don't think is earned.
I think it's a twist, though. I think it's I think it's Shakespearean in how inevitable it is if you watch the show carefully for all the
and
clues.
And I kind of messaged you beforehand before the pod that I think it's earned. I think it was a bit rushed. You don't seem to agree,
maybe not in this episode. Yeah. But you can argue that the last two seasons might have been a bit rushed.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And that's fair enough.
But overall, I literally thought this episode was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in TV. And everyone on the internet and reviews and some of my friends who have like been very like pro everything that we've talked about have disagreed. But luckily, you and I think your friends haven't.
No. And Tate, friend of this podcast, who's not friend of this podcast, star.
He does most of the podcast.
He's away in England right now, but he was already telling me how it's like, he loved it to death. Mm-hmm. He thinks they're sticking the landing like hell.
Matt, who's never been on the podcast, but we've talked about
Matt,
a few
friend
times
of the podcast, he said it was his favorite episode of the year, one of his and he loves this season so far, like me.
Yeah.
He thought episode 4 was one with a little bit of problems, but you loved every other episode.
I loved episode 4.
Me too. Mm. He still liked it. Mm. And I, on the other hand, thought it was a masterpiece. I can't believe it. Like, I honestly think this might be my favorite episode ever of the show and one of the greatest TV achievements ever. I cannot believe we live in a world where something this technically amazing exists and all people can do is whine and bitch.
In the defense of every official review of it, like, you know, every real review I've read of it, you know, by real journalists and everything, they've at least said technically this is an amazing episode.
It's true.
The special effects, the acting.
But I don't think the plot turn of Danny and stuff comes out of nowhere. I think it's clearly been foreshadowed for years. And the reason why
it was shocking and tragic. And people.
It's Shakespearean. And I think it wasn't a twist out of nowhere. It was tragic because you're sitting there hoping it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. And I know it's not out of nowhere because I've been talking about it for about 5 years happening. Because you could see all the seeds being planted. And we'll definitely get into that detail later.
And
I thought it was amazing.
2 years ago, I argued with you when you said this sort of same thing, but all season, and look, I've only been on like this season, last week and this week, and so you could call me a liar, but you've been completely right. I saw this coming. To be honest, Daenerys' turn, I kind of expected, and it was still amazing and suspenseful. And
it makes 100% sense. I don't understand the reaction. And like I said, we'll get into it a little bit deeper as the pod goes on. But for now, we'll stay vague. Actually, I'll read my initial review that I wrote on Facebook, which is spoiler-free and to the point. I wrote this. So today I saw the penultimate episode of the final season of Game of Thrones, and wowee, a visual masterpiece, incredibly thrilling, agonizingly intense, emotional, and above all, and this is the most important thing as all, and I also think this is why there's controversy, above all, bold. It was willing to ruffle the feathers of the viewers who like to live in their safe space and not be challenged, and that's a rare feat nowadays. Ruffle the feathers of the people that have been unwilling to see the foreshadowing of this episode's dark turn that has been all over the last 8 seasons. Confident storytelling like this is why this show will have a proud legacy after the dust settles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I just want to give major props to director Miguel Sapochnik and all the people who worked on this episode for their amazing work. If Miguel Sapochnik does not win Best Director at the Emmys for this show and some sort of shitty, you know, point-and-shoot drama wins, then the world is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is an incredible achievement. Now, that's not my notes anymore. That's just me saying it. That was my overall review. This was amazing. I give it 5 out of 5. First episode this year, I'd give 5 out of 5. The best episode since The Winds of Winter, but I think it's better. I think this is the high point of the show because I really do. And it's been a lot of high points.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's because just the penultimate episode, to have the guts to go, fuck it. This is our story. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make so many people pissed off, but we don't care because
and
this...
And there are a lot of people pissed
and
off.
That's a good thing, though, because in the 10 years' time, people are going to forget that, you know, everyone had all these hundreds of theories, and they're going to watch the show and go, well, how gutsy was that? And they're going to watch the 8 seasons really close together like I just did, but a lot of people I think who review it don't.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watch all the 8 seasons like I just did close together and you've read the books or some of the books before like I have, you'll see that this just feels like an inevitable conclusion. It's tragic and it's sad, mm-hmm. like Luke Skywalker in the Last Jedi. It's not what I would have hoped for because I wanted a happiness for my character of Luke because I love Luke and I love Danny. But making it tragic and sad makes it far more interesting to me.
Yeah.
And I think on repeat viewing makes it far more compelling.
Yeah.
And the idea that they butcher her character is so false. It just, people live in their la-la land. People live in a la-la land where they wanted certain things to happen and they ignored all the clues leading up to this moment,
mm-hmm.
which I'm going to get into. I wrote like 2 pages, like list of clues from mm-hmm. the top of my head because mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with this show. That's why I'm doing a pod. I mean, George R. Martin has said plenty of times that Game of Thrones, when he wrote the books, are the anti-fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to take the tropes and flush them down the window. The lead of the story, the first book, the lead character, Ned Stark, dies, gets killed. Then in traditional fantasy, what happens next? Ned's son, Rob, he takes up charge, fights against the evil Lannisters, and he's going to win because that's what happens in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Your father dies, you have your revenge, he fucking dies.
Yep.
This is, and he continued it. And now we go later on, like the trope of like Jon Snow, he's destined to fight the Night King. He's destined to kill the Night King, but Arya did it.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional fantasy trope is that that bastard who's got all that, he's Harry Potter. He's a nobody and all of a sudden he's the chosen one. And that's what he was. He was like the chosen one to fight this Night King and, you know, lead the world. We all thought it was going to be him. Then Arya did it. So what they did there is they subverted our expectations in the typical George R. Martin fashion of like, holy shit, that's not what I expected. Arya doing it. And they justified Arya's storyline for 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Like they completely justified it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just, this, and then you got Danny, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper later on, but then you got Danny, who is a very traditional fantasy early on, you would think is a heroic figure to follow, but that's not how George R. Martin plays his games. And if you're living in this la-la land, I want to talk to these people right now, but there's a lot of people living in a la-la land.
Listen, la-la land.
If you're living in a la-la land where you think this is not going to happen in the books, then You might want to hope that George R. Martin never releases him because you'll be heartbroken. Because I can nearly guarantee you that this is what is going to happen in the book. Now, it might not be exactly word for word the same, but he said in a 60-minute interview 4 weeks ago before the season, they asked him, is this your ending? He said with the major players, and Danny is a major player, he said with the major players, it's exactly my story that I told him 5 years ago, like the ending, 6 years ago, and some of the stuff they knew for longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think Danny Turney might have been one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said some of the minor players are a little bit different. And that's only because, and he said it in the 60-minute interview too, only because some of them are still alive that are not alive.
Yeah.
Like Dodarian died like in book 3
to
bring
that, yeah.
Lady Stoneheart back. That's why the Lord of Light brought him back was for Lady Stoneheart.
Mm-hmm.
Now Lady Stoneheart's not in the show. So they twisted at the showrunners to make him save Arya.
Yeah.
Which was perfect for his, like, they did it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so scared that once they changed this storyline, like,
that Dodarian would be, like, why bring him back?
Yeah.
How many times?
I mean, they're tying off the story so perfectly this year. So, yeah, if you're living in this La La Land where you think this is not how it's going to happen, then I'm sorry to disappoint you, but have you been watching Game of Thrones for the last 8 years? And would you really want Jon and Danny sitting on the throne, bouncing a baby on their knees? Really? Now, it would be nice, but would you really want that? After Ned Stark and the Red Wedding, would you really want that ending? Really?
Don't we deserve a happy ending?
No, well, yeah, but you're going to get a bittersweet ending. Mm. You're going to get the guy who doesn't want to be king, most likely. Mm-hmm. Jon. Because Jon is like Aragorn. And not like Danny.
We're talking about subverting expectations. At the moment, for a long time, Jon Snow has been...
But it's more tragic than in Aragorn's case. Aragorn is more triumphant, but I think this ending where he's sitting on the throne... Yeah. If it happens, and if it doesn't happen, I'm fine with whatever they do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not one of those people. But if he does sit on the throne, I think it's going to be more somber, like... I'm doing what my dad... Oh, my technical Ned Stark never wanted to sit on the throne. Mm-hmm. He could have had that throne.
Yeah.
They always say, though... Though Robert had a better claim because I don't know how much you know, but you've read the book.
Yeah, I remember.
The Baratheons have like Targaryen blood because Baratheons, when they came 300 years ago, Aegon had like a bastard something, brother or something. I can't remember exactly. And 300 years ago, and that was a Baratheon. And he gave him Storm's End.
Okay, no, I
so they've know. Actually got Targaryen blood, the Baratheons, like more diluted now because they don't have sex with their family all the time. Yeah, no, it fits perfectly. And then once again, just pick up Fire and Blood from your local bookstore right now for $20, hardcover, beautiful book, and read a little bit about the Targaryen history. And you go, oh, wait a minute. This is what they do. Their motto is Fire and Blood. They burn and murder people all the time. Half the time, they are mad and murder people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they handled it so well. Because when I thought Mad Queen, I thought it was just going to snap one day and she's the villain. Honestly, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did instead was make it so much more interesting because, yes, she snapped, but they wrote it in such a way that it just feels, with her character traits, felt inevitable.
Yeah.
And tragic. And this was an amazing piece of television. Best 80 minutes I've seen this year of anything. I loved Avengers Endgame. Loved Avengers Endgame. I thought it was so emotional, not perfect. I thought this shat on it.
Mm-hmm.
Visually, way more spectacular. How does this show have visuals better than movies nowadays? I mean, the visuals in this were so much better than any movie I've seen this year, except maybe Alita. But it's a different sort of... Alita's got $200 million budget and...
I haven't seen Alita.
Where did it, you know, that's great visual effects, but just the spectacle of this movie is just... Wow. Oh, it's not a movie. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was watching it going, this isn't television. This isn't television anymore. So anyway, that's my overall review. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
And like The Last Jedi, it's pissed people off. And like The Last Jedi, I'm so glad it exists.
Yeah.
Because this is so much more interesting than getting the same old stuff again and again. Especially when you're watching George...
People are allowed to dislike the episode if they want to dislike
it. Yes, but not dislike it by saying that Danny came out of nowhere. Because that's just you haven't been watching close enough. But you could be disappointed that Danny snapped.
Yeah.
I'm actually disappointed that Danny... I didn't want it to snap. I watched the last half an hour sad.
It was tragic. The whole episode
But to say it doesn't fit with what the show they've been building for 8 years is so wrong. It's not funny. Like, you're living in a La La Land. And I've got...
But do you think it's...
I've got two pages of list in a minute. Like, we're going to leave that for last,
we'll,
I thought.
We'll get to that.
Just because it's the most... It's clearly the most juiciest part, so we'll get through everything else.
But do you think it's... people take ownership of, like, any sort of fans... Everyone has their own fan theories these days. With the internet, you get to talk about it more often. I mean... After Force Awakens, everyone had a fan theory about every freaking character. Annoyed the hell out of me, to be honest. But
that's the fun part.
But everyone takes ownership of like things that they like, and when it doesn't go their way, it feels like it pisses them off even more. Now, I'm not saying that's why everyone hates the episode.
I think a lot of it is, I've listened to
reviews and I've talked to people. My friend Ashley messaged in completely different reasons, but a lot of it seems to be it didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, which would happen with Star Wars, like.
Last Jedi, incredibly,
and people seem to like if it. Yeah,
a lot of the trolls. It certainly stems from that because you only have to see the episode since Arya killed the Night King, and you had the same people come up trying to say she's a Mary Sue. Like, oh fuck off!
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what a Mary Sue means.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, Mary Sue's. Well, to be honest, I agree with like Rian Johnson when he was having a fight on Twitter.
Wait, hold on. She's a Mary Sue because she. Actually spent like...
She's really good. Yo, 8 years training?
She had two years in working with the Faceless Men.
Yeah, and then she like had journeys with the Hound and the other killers. Like,
yeah.
No. Okay. But also, you know, Mary Stu and Mary Stu, people go online, oh yeah, but there's Gary Stu. But yeah, but no one uses Gary Stu. And let's face it, I don't like to get into the feminist. There is a Gary Stu, which Anakin Skywalker is in episode one. But that's, you know, but who cares? There's nothing wrong with that anyway, that trope. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's Harry Potter's bloody one as well. There is nothing wrong with that trope where you're the chosen one and people want to live through. Yeah, he's not perfect at anything, Harry Potter.
It's a fancy sort of trope.
But the reason why you always see it for Mary Sue is because a lot of the criticisms online, I'm not saying for everyone, obviously, but a lot of the
criticism... I think it was a Mary Sue.
Only because...
Who the fuck is saying that?
Let's face it, the people who say that, and I don't like bringing up this sort of stuff because I get annoyed by all this stuff, but it's undoubtedly
a sexist... Literally for the first 6.5 years, she has been training...
It's undoubtedly sexist. Oh, God, that's where it comes from. That's why you never hear Gary Stu, because people can't stand...
Okay.
Women who can do shit now. People say that Aya is a Mary Sue has no understanding of what Aya is, because who wants... It's wish fulfillment, first of all. Not just perfect in everything, it's wish fulfillment. Who writes a book about Aya where her family gets brutalized and murdered and she just, you know, her life has been shit.
Yeah.
Who writes that story and says, I wish I was Aya Stark? Like, are you fucking kidding me? And then second of all, it's also meant to be you're perfect at everything by the, like, you know, because it's wish fulfillment. You want to live that life past they're perfect at everything. Mm-hmm. But we just watched it, like you said, training for years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crap.
From season one when she was
that. But people can't, that's... people have that weird reaction, that crazy. Okay. They don't like, I don't want to get into it. Well, I do want to get into it.
We're about to get into it. No, get into it. It's, no, but just it's annoying as hell.
But it's not this episode anyway. That, so we should get into it. I mean, because
Should we get into the episode?
Well, I guess we are.
Yeah.
Because we can't go through the episode sort of scene by scene because it's just too many things you want to jump around with.
Mm-hmm.
I actually wrote it character by character, leaving basically Danny and then someone else, I'll mention that other person later, last, because Danny and that other person are part of the biggest conversation.
The other person, we'll find out.
Or connected to Danny.
So
who's
first?
So I tried to keep it in some sort of order from the episode, from beginning to end. So I started off with Varys.
The Master of Whisperers.
Yeah, who was... poisoning Danny, if you looked at the...
So I missed that bit.
But he is. Maybe if you watch the episode again. Maybe
I missed the first 5 minutes, because... Well,
he's trying to poison her.
Yeah.
But you get the little girl coming in saying she's not eating, and that little girl works in the kitchen. And then she said, the guards are watching me. How can I... Like, basically, they're implying he was trying to poison her, and it might have worked out okay if he poisoned her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really kind of would have worked out okay.
Didn't.
I was thinking at the beginning, I was like, oh, shit, they're going to poison her?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about the show. There was a moment 40 minutes in where... Aya and the Hound are walking through King's Landing and my mind is going, I have no idea what is going to happen for the next 40 minutes and there's like 20 possibilities and they could all make sense if you do it right.
Yeah.
And this was so thrilling to watch. I don't want to be condescending, but I feel genuine pity for people who can watch this and just bitch because it was so thrilling. But anyway.
Varys.
But that was one of the notes I wanted to say because that was a moment in the episode where I knew I was watching something special. I spent the last 40 minutes shaking of excitement. But anyway, Varys.
I didn't see what happened to Varys happening in this episode. I actually thought, like,
he's... I think I said it last week. I think he's probably going to die next week. Didn't I say that?
I swear, maybe. He's...
It happened so quickly.
Yeah. he's usually smarter than that. I mean, he's smart and manipulative.
I guess he expected Tyrion to use common sense. Like, Tyrion turning on him is just... I mean...
I don't know. Now that we know what we know, like, Tyrion made a mistake. And Tyrion thought he would made a mistake. But also, you know, it's... they worked with Daenerys for a long time as well. I don't blame Tyrion for the decision that
I can understand why he made it.
Didn't blame Tyrion.
I can understand why he made it. It's great writing. Mm. I'm just saying I was angry at Tyrion at the time. And Jon for just standing there and letting it happen. Yeah, because Varys is so clearly right.
But then...
like, even if she's not mad, he is actually the rightful heir. Who fucking cares if he doesn't want
it? Like an innocent person by any means.
But he wants...
He kills people. He does everything for the realm. Good.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think you believe him when he says it.
Oh, like
he genuinely wants to help the little people. He was one of the little people. I don't know how much you know about his backstory.
But look, but and that's what I liked about his... So, you know, he dies at the end. We got into that.
Well, he gets burnt.
And that's what I like. Like, at the end, when he, you know, he's about to be executed, I thought it was awesome. Like, he's about to die and he's been betrayed by Tyrion. And he tells Tyrion, I hope you've made the right choice. And he really seems to mean that. He hopes he's wrong so that the realm will be fine. That's all that matters to him.
Oh, so angry.
But like, still, he has, you know, done a lot of bad things. I mean, he's not for the realm.
I would never call him a villain. He's not a villain or anything.
No, he's not a villain. But he's not like an innocent person.
I was so angry when it happened. I was like, oh, fuck you, Tyrion.
I
was angrier at Tyrion because he knows more. Jon's just an idiot who's in love. Like, but Jon just standing there. Like, God damn it. Can't you people see what's happening? But that's good frustration. I wasn't angry at the show. It was good frustration. I'm just saying.
It was treason.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it was for the right reason. I couldn't believe that Tyrion... I really thought Tyrion was going to back him up.
Tyrion still...
Tyrion wanted to work so desperately that it's just like, damn it, Tyrion. Haven't you seen what's going on for the last, like, especially year and a half on the show? Like, Jesus. But
I was less angry with Tyrion. I felt bad for Tyrion.
I feel bad for
Tyrion. He hated that moment. And like, I loved the bit where he tells Varys it was, you know, it was me. Because it wasn't, you know, like as a brag thing. It was, and it wasn't like as an apology. It was just him telling a friend that he's hoping he's made the right choice. Terry never didn't know, but it was a hard decision. I wouldn't be angry with him.
I never knew I was going to have such an emotional reaction to the death of Varys. Like I really got. Mm. I was like, damn it. Mm. I wanted him to be there at the end, seeing a happy, like, John on the throne or something. Yeah. Like, a happy ending, going, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
I really did want that. Like, so you could say, I beat you, Littlefinger, but now he's dead.
Mm. But so it was a very nice moment, I think, between Varys and Tyrion.
When I wasn't angry. And when the dragon took so long to burn him, did you think for a minute that John was going to stop it?
Because I thought, no, my God, I thought it was going to happen.
Because it took so long. I thought, wait a minute, is John going to, like, stop it from happening? And Danny's going to be like, what the hell?
But
it happened.
Like, I don't know if it was before the pot. It's a thing that Stark would have done if you betray your king or queen. Even like Robert Baratheon was a shit king, but Ned Stark would have been there at the side of the king. If that happened,
I can understand why they did it. But I'm just more about Tyrion telling someone because they're right, Danny, and we saw the results.
Yeah,
of what can happen.
But Tyrion's an optimist.
Moving on to Tyrion.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, his scene is after this, and we've already talked about this, is freeing Jaime, which I thought was a really nice scene. And
what is it with Jaime getting captured without us seeing how it happens the whole series? Like the first season, he gets captured after, because they couldn't have the budget. This episode, like that bit was probably
that was a shocking moment when it happened, when she said it, wasn't it? Like,
what?
When she said it, like, your brother was captured.
Yeah.
I thought, whoa, I thought they killed him already.
But it was just, I thought it was a bit rushed. You know, he leaves and then suddenly he gets caught because they saw his hand. It was a little bit rushed. It was a bit annoying.
That was
one of, I think, the only moment where I thought, okay, they could have, like, had a scene or, then maybe an extra episode because obviously we're trying to get one.
That's a dream. Extra episodes. That's the overall dream, but we're not going to get it. And when you see the production level of this, you can understand why there's not extra episodes.
This
would have taken so long to make.
So the bit with Tyrion and Jaime, like, one... Obviously, Jaime was never going to get out of there alive. I mean, we kind of guessed that, but it was like the scene itself was a goodbye between Tyrion and Jaime. It was such a good.
You could tell.
It was such an amazing scene. Like Tyrion crying and everything. And it was. I thought it was a really beautiful moment between them.
Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely great. And you knew it was the end.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly because we kind of knew Jaime was probably never going to get out of this episode anyway.
Yeah.
Most likely.
We hoped him to.
And it was so suspenseful after 2 because I thought, Tyrion, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
When they find out...
Tyrion's in trouble now.
Yeah, you're in trouble,
Tyrion.
He's
let him out. But I...
They're going to find out that he let Jaime go.
Tyrion... I just love him so much. Like, he's changed so much over the 8 years that he would, like...
He's always been
He's always been a good man, but he's just taken... He basically expected to be killed after this. He knew that he'd made a decision that's going to get him killed, but he did it and he had no regrets because he was going
to
save.
He wants to save Cersei's baby. Cersei's a bitch. He wants to save Cersei. Oh, yeah, that. But letting Jaime go is. Oh, yeah, he wanted to stop the fire.
No, he wanted to save everyone. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah.
He wants to save Cersei's baby as well.
Yeah, stop and ring the bell. Yeah. So, and then he has to like beg Danny, please don't burn people if they give up. Mm-hmm. And then like, we'll see.
Tyrion's a guy who,
he's the hero here.
Yeah. Oh, I hope he lives.
I don't think
he's going to be in trouble, but he'd make a fantastic hand.
Well, he's nearly at the end. Mm. One more episode to survive, Tyrion. It'd be good if he gets his winery. He said years ago that he wanted to just retire and have a winery and just relax drinking wine all day.
Don't think that's going to be his ending.
Me either. Not how this show's going. Mm. This doesn't look like a happy show.
No.
But it wouldn't mind it. I mean, some people can have happy endings.
I think Tyrion has a happy ending.
Semi-happy.
Tyrion deserves a happy ending. Because he did kill his father.
It's never going to be happy because Danny turned out to be a disaster and his line is over.
Mm-hmm.
The Lannisters are done.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So it's never going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he could drink wine all day and maybe die at 80 years old with a woman's mouth around his cock. That's the dream. Wouldn't that be good as an epilogue? You just see him dying at 80 and there's a woman there. She gets up. Tyrion. Tyrion.
Anyway.
That'd be great. I want that. So anyway, I love that scene. It was really good.
Peter Dinklage has been like fantastic. I think
Peter Dinklage is amazing.
Even though he didn't do that much, amazing. His last episode when he spoke to Cersei and spoke to Qyburn, I thought it was amazing. This episode, just his desperation to try and save everyone in King's Landing, and he didn't say anything, but his like depression after the bell rang and like how
the look on his face when he's waiting for Danny not to do anything.
And he knows he's made a mistake with Varys now.
I think he kind of deep down inside he might have thought that too, but he was in a little bit of a denial. He just wanted he wanted to stop bloodshed. Yeah. Because if you can get Dany on the throne in a peaceful way, he knows that she's not. See, Dany is an interesting character because before today's snap, now it's hard to justify her being anything of a good person anymore. But before this, she's done bad things, but she's not a bad person, and she's done good things, but she's not a perfect person.
Mm-hmm.
She's an interesting character, and he just knows that if you get her in the right situation, she can lead. She's beautiful. She's young. She's got dragons. She's strong. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she can lead properly. Mm-hmm. But if you put her on the back foot, she's violent.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it throughout the 8 years.
We'll get to that.
So Jamie, moving on to Jamie, then that's like the natural thing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I want to say, we'll get this out of the way really quickly. I liked the fight with Euron.
Did you?
I thought it was funny.
See, that was
it was fun.
Jamie and Euron. Okay, Euron was a waste. He was nothing. He was a nothing character.
I thought he was...
He was fine.
I know he's better in the books.
He reminds me of... Yeah, I know. He reminds me a little bit of like a combination of Ewan McGregor and Joshua Jackson, but...
There is a part of me that kind of likes the simplicity of all he wanted to do was fuck the Queen and... That's basically it. Fuck the Queen and kill like, Jamie Lannister.
He amazingly survived to fight Jamie Lannister, and I'm just like... Did anyone care about this showdown? Like, anyone?
I was waiting for
fuck about. Like, did anyone think, I can't wait for Jamie to beat, like, Euron?
I kind of was. Not, like, on the edge of my seat. If it didn't happen, I wouldn't have cried, but I liked it.
The only thing I really liked was the end.
When he said, I killed Jamie Lannister?
Yeah. Actually, for a moment then, when he said that, I was like, okay, Euron is in... that's the most interesting thing Euron's ever done, is that even as he's dying, he's just that excited that he's...
Well, I think we've had a lot of screen time with him this year, but I think they've improved him this year. Like, he was more over the top before. This year, he's just like, he wants simple things. Why does he do it? Because why not? He wants to fuck the Queen, and he wants to kill Jamie Lannister, and that's it.
I think it's the fact that George R. Martin wanted him to be like the new Ramsay Bolton, and he was just...
He's too likable. I actually kind of found him likable. Like,
he wasn't likable. He was just nothing.
I thought he was fun to watch.
There was no interesting, no backstory. He has a backstory, but no interesting backstory that explains why he might be like that.
Oh, he could have been better.
Ramsay
has
that.
There's no question he could have been better, but the show didn't have enough time to give him depth, probably.
But literally, I think his last line, like, that I killed Jamie Lannister, was actually the most interesting thing that I thought you're the guy that, like, you're dying right now, and you're... still happy that at least you beat, like, you at least you've mortally wounded Jamie. That was kind of interesting.
I didn't hate him as much as everyone else, but I mean, I understand he's not the deepest character, but I thought he's fine. I wanted that fight. I was happy. Mm. And I was scared that Jamie was going to die. And I thought, oh, really? You're going to subvert my, you're not even going to let him get to Cersei? I would have been kind of disappointed with that subverting.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I want to see him and Cersei together. I thought for a
second might happen
to me too. Mm. I thought, damn it. Because I thought they were going to do that moment where he's trying to go for the sword, and it was so far away, I thought, they're going to bloody stab him in the face or something before he gets to the sword. Thank God they didn't do that.
So what do you think of Jamie choosing Cersei in the end?
I love it.
Mm.
I love it. I think it's so perfect. I think people, I've heard criticisms online, and it's okay if you want to criticize, like, you want to have a debate about it. I don't know how you think. I saw a review where this person said he loved Jamie Lannister, and he said that this move here, where he didn't come back to kill her or anything, this move destroyed his redemption for 8 years. And I was like, no. I thought it was tragically sad that the fact that he earned his redemption over 8 years, he earned it, but he didn't believe he deserved the redemption. He needed to go back and be with the woman he truly loves. He wanted to save his unborn child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's more tragic that he could have happily lived happily ever after Brienne, but he said it to her, you know, I'm a bad person. I killed my cousin. I killed this. I did this all for Cersei. That he didn't think he deserved any happiness with Brienne. I'm a bad person. I do not deserve this. I deserve Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to save his unborn child, which I don't think is really unreasonable.
And he loves her. I thought it made sense. And he loves her and everything. I thought it was kind of a weak moment. He shouldn't have done it. But he's got an unborn...
What shouldn't have done? Like,
he should have gone to see Cersei.
Well, I understand in real life he shouldn't have, but you would want that story, though. This is a better story than him staying with Brienne.
I would have loved it if they ended up together and happy.
This is better. But the ending of him and Cersei is so perfect that I'm so glad I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See, internet, it's easy. Because I've been saying for years that he should be the Queenslayer.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they were so vulnerable in that last moment.
It was an amazing moment.
And I was sitting there and I'm watching, okay, here are the Lannister twins who, you know, Jamie, we've loved Jamie for a while, but really, Jamie pushed a 10-year-old boy out of a window.
Mm-hmm. Episode 1. And Cersei's tried to kill Jamie just recently.
And Cersei... she's just the most hateful bitch the show's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I'm watching her have a genuine emotion where I felt bad for them both.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie's easier, but even Cersei, I felt bad for Cersei. Mm-hmm. She just wanted her son or daughter, whoever. She wanted her baby to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I'm watching this show now. Think about this, 8 years in, I'm watching the Lannisters, Cersei crying, about to die, and I'm feeling bad for her while one of our heroes is the one doing the murdering.
Mm-hmm.
The faceless Daenerys. Like, it's just, I thought it was amazing. I couldn't have wrote a better ending.
We're not
ending.
Up to Cersei yet.
We're doing Cersei now. With Jamie, do I have a little bit more? Well, I've already said for my Jamie stuff, okay, really. I thought it was just incredible. And it didn't change anything the way I feel. Now it makes more sense. Throughout the show, we're like, oh, well, now Jamie's going to learn. But then he went back to Cersei. And they go, oh, now Jamie's going to learn. And we're like, season 7, he's still going back to Cersei. And now, even after he had Brienne and everything, and he's helped save the world from the dead, he still went back to Cersei. It's just, that's his character now.
I don't think it's like against his redemption or anything. It wasn't doing anything bad.
I don't think it's, someone else said that, not me.
He wasn't going to kill. Yeah, no, I wasn't saying.
I think it's more tragic that he loves her so much. It makes more sense. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, if he doesn't go back, like seriously, this in retrospect, if he doesn't go back to try to save the woman he truly loves one more time, then it'll be like, well, nah, that wouldn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
This was the perfect ending. And I kind of wanted him to escape and not die. And that's Cersei, for God's sake.
Like, for a second, I didn't know. Rachel asked, my wife, she asked me, I was watching, are they going to be okay? And I was like, I actually don't know. So they might just go off and hide for the rest of their lives. I kind of wanted it for a second. Look, Cersei is...
But this is a better ending than that, too. Yeah. This is a better ending than that, too. This is so Shakespearean.
Lena Headey is amazing.
Yeah, she didn't get enough tough to do this year, but that was her best moment.
Yeah. But it was like the moment where she saw Jaime. And again, literally the last thing that we know is that she ended up getting Qyburn to tell, what's his name, Bronn. Bronn? To kill Jaime. Because she and Bronn aren't allowed to be in the same scene.
Yeah, I know, because of their dating in real life.
Yeah.
Went bad.
So she tried to kill him. But the moment like she saw him and like just that emotion that came from her,
I don't think it's bad writing either. She's had opportunities to kill her brothers multiple times, and even Tyrion, she can't do it. I know in season 4. In season 4, she was angry for Tyrion and all that. But she's had opportunities to kill Tyrion. Mm. She doesn't kill Tyrion. She had opportunity last week to kill Tyrion. I think that's part of... I don't think she... She definitely doesn't want to kill Jaime.
But it's the whole... since the shame, you know, the big walk, she's kind of lost... Yeah, and especially the death of Tommen, she's kind of lost all her emotion. And just to have that last moment before she died...
She cowered, like, in a way we've never seen her before.
When she basically said, I don't want to die, I don't want to lose my son.
And she started, breaking down in a way. Like, her voice went lower.
While it was...
It went vulnerable.
There was a combination of... It was very... Actress. Like, I thought it was, like, very emotional. And it was Cersei. And I've read, like, a lot of things. That's not Cersei. I'm like, no, that's exactly what she's been hiding from for the last few seasons. Yeah. And at the same time...
She put up a shield.
Even though, like, it was I thought it was a nice moment for her. But bad at the same
people,
time...
Even bad people have emotions.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was kind of, like, the worst ending for her as well. Because she admitted, you know, you knew she didn't want to die. And she was actually scared. And then she died.
They died together.
So she didn't get, a happy ending. It was a sad ending.
It was perfect. The ending was perfect.
The
I couldn't
people
have written it a
that
better
like,
way.
I can't believe Cersei just changed like that in the last moment. I'm like,
you try being on the brink of death.
Me? She's about to die. A lot of shit happened to her before
that. And she's pregnant too.
She's pregnant.
And that's the last of the Lannisters in her belly too. That's part of the legacy. It's part of it. Or
the bit, the bit on the stairs after, which were, I guess it's a very hard when we're doing the characters, when Qyburn dies.
I love that moment. I screamed when Qyburn died.
Qyburn.
Yeah, it was so shockingly quick.
Yeah, it was disgusting. It was really so brutal. But I hate Qyburn, so I was glad he died.
No one liked. Well, it was fun.
But I just Cersei just like walking past them. It was just like I just thought it was an amazing kind of moment. I don't know what it was. It was kind of like it was humorous and sad and like she's desperate to get out of there, but I just thought it was like as Sandor and Gregor were about to like fight to the death, and she didn't have any help anymore. She just like looked at them and just walked down the stairs. There was something about it that I just thought was like this is incredible moment where she. I mean, you'd think that you'd get killed by walking like past those people, when
the Hound only had one thing on his mind.
Yeah.
And so did the Mountain.
But no, Lena Headey, I thought, was just fucking awesome.
She was amazing. It was the first time she could really do anything this season. They really didn't give her anything.
Yeah.
But because she emptied King's Landing.
Yeah.
So it was hard for her. I felt bad for the actress. I wanted her to have more stuff. But she's had plenty. I mean, she's had tradition of this show, like every single, like Theon died last week, the Hound died this week, we'll get to that later. Like every single character that's been there since season one has had the most amazing arcs in television history. The amount of journey everyone's had in changing is just wow. I mean, everyone. And Nina Headey is amazing too, from what she's always been hateful, but her journey's been amazing. Like she, when I rewatched the show, like I remember saying, like, you know, you have to kill Cersei early because you know it's all about the Night King, because that's and I was wrong. But that's how the show was building up to be about the White Walkers, so why we have Cersei still. But when I rewatched the show and I came back here for episode one of this year, I said, thank God Cersei isn't dead. Because when you rewatch the show really quickly, you realize that Cersei is hands down the most interesting villain the show's ever had. Better than Joffrey, and I love Joffrey. Better than Ramsay, but he got annoying.
But Joffrey and Ramsay were kind of just insane.
But they were good. They were great villains, especially Joffrey. I mean, Ramsay got really annoying near the end, but I still liked him.
Yeah.
I liked him in the arc.
But Cersei's
just amazing. She's amazing because she shows vulnerability every now and then. Her scene with Robert in season one, which is the best scene in the first season, where they just talk about their marriage, is just, and that's added from, that's not in the books, because none of them are POV characters in the book. So you never get that moment. That's the show giving her more depth.
She cared about her kids and everything. She lost a lot.
It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. I mean, if she never got that prophecy, would have happened. She thought it was always going to happen. So she was always fighting that new young queen, Sansa, Natalie Dormer, Daenerys. Like, it's just, I mean, she's amazing. I want Cersei to win an Emmy. Lena to win an Emmy because she's amazing. But this is hard for this year because they didn't give her a lot. But she deserves it.
I thought she was really good in this episode. Like, they gave you sympathy for her at the end, and she was a monster that we all wanted to die at the end. And like, I still wanted her to die, but there was I didn't really want her to die. And for a second, I thought, like, if she ended up running away with Jaime, and look, she wouldn't become like be queen, but maybe like I wouldn't have hated it as much as I expected.
I didn't want him to die in the moment, but it feels 100% right. Yeah. It had to happen like that. But that's how the show should make me feel. It's very Shakespearean tragedy.
And Jaime died. Really, Jaime said tragic. A few seasons ago that he wanted to die with the woman in his arms. And that happened.
They came in this world together and they left this world together. They were always going to die together.
Yeah.
Ironically, Jaime killed the Mad King like 20-something years ago to stop the Mad King from burning everything. And ironically, 20-something years later, he dies because his daughter is burning the city. So I thought that was a little bit ironic. Like, after all he's done,
I didn't even think of that.
Like, and it's also interesting too, because did you notice in the wide shot, you see King's Landing burning from her fire of the dragon, but you also see the green fire.
Yeah.
So you see some of the wildfire left off.
So that just exploded from the bottom, I'm guessing?
I mean, I don't know if they've said it in the show, they must have, but he had a lot stored under King's Landing. They don't even know where it all is. But I thought that was kind of sad and ironic that they just went full circle. He did all this stuff. He became the Kingslayer. And then he died by the daughter doing what he tried to stop before. He was a good man, Jaime. He was always a good man that did a lot of really terrible things because of
his sister.
The crazy woman he loved.
Because he loved his sister.
That was amazing. Cersei, genuine sympathy. I wrote that. That's all I had to say about Cersei. You said all of it, to be honest.
I'm sorry.
No, but that's okay. So she's Nina Headey is amazing. She's just the best gift the show's ever had, behind Tyrion at his like Tyrion. I think Peter Dinklage is the best like of acting in the show ever, like just the best. But she's probably second at her best. Holy shit! I wrote here before we get into the other stuff. I need to find a place to stick this in. Harry Strickland, the crazy named Harry Strickland, which is kind of like the name, you know, the principal in Back to the Future.
Yeah, I always think that. Thank God, like, they introduced that character because he did so much.
He's got more in the books to do. Like, he has more character. But I loved, talk about subverting, I loved how you meet him. You hear about the Golden Company in previous seasons. They never lose. Then you meet him in episode one and he's like so confident. Yeah, we didn't get the elephants, but we're going to fight for you. Then you see like this week and last week, you see that flat field that's like, oh my God, they're so having a big battle there. Like, they're setting up this major battle and then his army's dead in 7 seconds, seconds, 5 seconds, he's dead. And then you have that great shot where he's running away scared all of a sudden and he dies. And I thought, that's what you called subverting. We thought we were going to get a big battle. What we got was a massacre. So I just wanted to mention that. I love that. Like, I thought it was so great.
Yeah.
They were clearly playing a game there, saying, this is what you think you're going to get this? That's why they showed you nothing in the trailers. They showed you nothing of these episodes in the trailers. That was great. I really loved that Harry Strickland. I thought it was perfect. I thought a lot of things were perfect in this. I thought they're knocking so much out of the park that I do feel genuine sympathy for people. I don't understand how they can't like it, but that's another story. The tactics too, I liked, quickly I'll just say, I liked watching the dragons burn the fleet.
Yeah.
There was a part of me that questioned, like, last week you couldn't burn the fleet after one dragon died, but now you can do it perfectly, but whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, I thought that, like,
wasn't... I don't care.
She used the sun a little bit and then dove a little bit more. You couldn't figure that out last week, but...
But I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Because whatever. Mm. Some people... because it was really cool.
Mm.
And when they fight, it was so smart. It was like smart tactics for the first time in Game of Thrones history where they came from behind and just wiped it all out.
Yeah.
And like, they built up these bloody weapons and they were gone in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
I loved how this game was setting up something, setting up something and just got rid of it so quickly to subvert it.
Well, Danny...
The battle was over in a second.
The whole thing was... Yeah, they annihilated.
Were you thinking? I mean, you watch it. Oh, shit, that was quick. Like, it was so quick.
I remember watching it and thinking, well, yeah, you're kicking ass right now. You don't have to destroy the whole city.
He doesn't have to get mad either, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Hound. First, I want to say, before the scene that coincides with Cersei doing the fun walk, the Hound...
And
the Hound scene with Arya in that map room breaking up was... just the best.
Mm.
Like, in week one, when they met for 2 seconds, I was like, that better not be all we get with the Hound and Arya.
Mm.
After, like, I mean, they had the best road trip with Jaime and Brienne.
We didn't get much.
But we got an ending that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Because Arya Stark has been going down a very dark road these past few years. Like, a really dark road. And I've said so many times on this podcast, I don't want her to be some psycho killer. I want her to be Arya Stark again. I want her to get her soul back again. And when he stopped her and said, don't turn into me, and he teaches her a lesson, and then she says, thank you, I cried.
I thought it was perfect. Nice. Perfect I actually thought it was amazing. Perfect I just thought ending. It was a little bit too... Arya's been doing it for like 7 years and kind of accepted it like very quickly. I still thought it was a nice moment. I thought it could have lasted like about 30 seconds longer. Just to.
It's hard because of the situation they're in.
Mm. But I thought it was a really, really nice moment. And when she says, Sandor, thank you, it was a very...
That's what I wanted before when she was like a bitch to him. But I love Arya, and I love her being a cold, hard bitch. But yeah.
And now I kind of want Arya to go back to, what's his name? Gendry, and, you know, live happily. Like.
Well, I was hoping that too, but I had this feeling in my gut. I can say it now, because I don't know if I said it on the podcast or not, but I had this prediction where Arya is probably going to go.
Mm-hmm.
At the end. Because she said she's not going back to Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a few years ago, season six, she was saying to the actress, she asked the actress when she was trying to, remember she got the job to kill the actress?
Yeah.
The Australian actress? Mm-hmm. In real life, she's Australian, the actress
played it. Yeah, I remember. Anyway, the girl from that movie.
The Babadook. It's a good movie, too. Mm-hmm. And she should have got an Oscar nomination for it. I can't think of her name right now. But that's not the point.
Yep.
The point is that she asked her, what is west of Westeros?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I thought, are you going to end going west of Westeros? And now after this, which is not a killer anymore, I think you might end with her sailing west of Westeros.
Mm-hmm.
After she'll do something in the episode. There's like another prediction coming.
Mm-hmm.
She'll do something in the episode. But I think I wouldn't be shocked if the last scene ever is her leaving Westeros and going west of Westeros.
Okay.
Just because they've mentioned it 3 years ago and it just seemed perfect.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she's going to go back home just because she said it
in
the shows. But anyway, that scene between her and the Hound was, for me anyway, was 100% perfect. I thought, you've nailed it again. They're getting this list and they're nailing everything. For me, so many people pissed, I don't fucking care anymore. They're nailing everything. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, this is it. That's it. What a person to teach you that lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, the Hound has been torn up by vengeance and hate his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are hands down. I love Brienne and Jaime.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second best journey the show's ever had. But the Hound and Arya is the best journey we've ever had. Yep. Like, they're the best characters. Who would have thought when the show started or when you start reading that book that Arya and the fucking Hound would have such a profound journey and connection by the end? Like, who would have thought it? In the book, she's like a 9-year-old girl who doesn't like to do her stitching.
Yeah.
And now she's in it's just profound.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was such a perfect, like, what a man to teach her. And I like that the Hound, you know, I love the soft moment between them.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. And I didn't want Arya to be a psycho whole life. I've been saying it for years. I don't want her to just go around killing people.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to marry Gendry, but I'm okay if she doesn't marry Gendry. Just don't go around killing people. You're happy. You've done your job. Get the fucking Night King, woman. You can still kill people if you have to.
She's still, according to one of the prophecies, she's going to kill someone with green eyes.
But maybe not.
Mm.
Because prophecies here, they might not mean anything.
Yeah, apparently not.
Well, Cersei in the books has green eyes. But she's dead already, so it doesn't matter. I just realized that. That's done.
She was going to kill Cersei. That was
and in the books... Daenerys has purple eyes, but not in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't. The Clegane Boar. What do you think of the Clegane
Boar? It was epic.
Yeah, it was great.
It was over the top. Cinematography I thought was amazing. Like, it was ridiculous. And it was a bit ridiculous, but it was just... It was so much fun.
Oh my god. I always imagine just a sword fight and they took it up to 10 yeah. It was like epic. Like the,
and you finally saw what the mountain looked like, you know, what Gregor looked like without the mask and the top off too. And him killing Qui-Burn was a nice and gruesome moment.
That was a shock. I mean, it makes sense. It was so quick. It was so quick. And it was a very important move because the problem with the Clegane ball to my head, I don't know if I've ever mentioned the show because we never really talk about it that much, but my problem in my head was always that the mountain is not the mountain anymore.
Yeah.
Like the mountain, so it's not, it won't feel as satisfying, but
it's kind of like when Bran isn't Bran anymore and Jaime meets him.
But they did something very smart. Where they made the mountain not listen to Cersei. So now you see he's not just a monster.
And not listen to Qui-Burn, who's basically his master. Push him and realize that he wants to kill his brother.
So that was a very smart thing. And I think that's why they did it too, was to show you that, nah, this is the mountain still. Mm-hmm. Like, you're still in there. He says it in last season too. Mm-hmm. You're in there, aren't you, brother? So it was very important. Because if it was just like a zombie of his brother, then it wouldn't be as satisfying. Yeah. So it worked. And just, I mean, I always thought that he might... I always thought he was going to defeat the mountain with a flaming sword because of fire.
Mm-hmm.
No, they took that by 500 by
and
throwing
threw him over the thing into the fire.
The biggest fire that the world's ever seen. Mm-hmm. King's Landing burning. Like, I mean, so epic and so great.
Over the top?
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It was over the top, but it was so intense. Mm-hmm. You tell me you weren't on the edge of your seat when he's like smashing his eyes in.
Oh, when he was doing the eye thing, which I thought was actually kind of like amazing, like bringing it back to the Oberyn.
D&D have done that a lot this year. It's been great.
And I saw that and I... And it was hard to watch because I remember the Oberyn part, which was gruesome and disturbing as hell. No, I had fun.
It was great.
Yeah, it was insanely, like, on top of stairs.
It was satisfying as hell.
With that in the background. With all the shit in the background. Sword fighting. Yeah. It was...
Stabbing him in the face 100 times.
Over-the-top movie epic, and I just enjoyed it. Yeah, stabbing him in the, like, head and him taking off. I just thought it was, yeah. How do you... Beat the
How
mountain.
Beat this guy?
How
would
you
jump off?
Zombie mountain?
He'd jump off.
I wouldn't even know if like that would kill the mountain in the end, but it did. I mean,
well, I think you, yeah.
I thought it was a cool fight.
So moving on from that, I wrote, oh, and quickly, did you know, I just remembered, that Cersei died this week, and it was Sunday in America when it aired, and that's Mother's Day. So Cersei died on Mother's Day, which fits in with the history of the show that, I don't know if you know this, but season 4's finale, where Tywin dies by his son, was actually on Father's Day in America. So, on purpose?
I'm sure that was an accident.
I wonder if it is. Mm. I wonder. I don't know. I heard people talking about it before the show started. Is a mother going to die? A mother of dragons? Or Cersei? But yeah. Anyway, moving on. Miguel Sapochnik directed this episode. Directed Hard Home. He directed Battle of the Bastards. He directed...
Episode 3.
The Long Night.
Yep.
And pretty much in every one of those episodes, every one of those episodes, he has a moment, a tracking shot that goes on spectacularly long, especially for a TV show, where he follows Jon Snow while just shit is hitting the fan around him. And it's incredible. Battle of the Bastards is maybe the best one.
Yeah.
Where he just, I don't know if you remember, but he's in the middle and the horses are hitting
him. Yeah, I remember that.
Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he does one better because there was like multiple one-take tracking shots that maybe had secret editing here and there, but who cares? The way it looked. With Arya running through chaos, that was just so fucking spectacular.
And her trying to save the family that like looked after her.
Oh, that was, and then they died. The show didn't lose its meanness. Because I've been saying for a while now, I don't know if the show has kind of lost its meanness a little bit, but this episode was mean and violent, and it didn't skirt around the issue to say, oh, maybe Danny's not that bad. No, it's bad. That was really tragic.
Kids were dead.
I thought the kid was going to survive, maybe. But no,
I wanted to burn them all. Yeah, I was hoping that, like that, yeah. But it was no, like
it was brutal, and it was just so spectacular. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one in Long Night where everything when John's running and like zombies are falling through the roof and all that is just they're both amazing. So this is just equally amazing. Maybe like I thought it was just great.
Yeah,
and she looked great, Arya.
Mm-hmm.
She looked great, Maisie Williams. Like the way they made her up, she was like covered in dust. She had cuts on her face, her costume.
And she was desperate to like just survive.
It was great.
She definitely, the Mary Sue thing annoys me. She was definitely not Mary
Sue. Oh, no, but that's just some people.
No, I know. But it's just the fact that people are...
Because she's the opposite. She's not... Yeah. They don't have any idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even that bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really that bad. But people criticize it. And it's always the women. You notice it's never a male character that gets that criticism or wonder why.
Mm-hmm. Sexist.
Yeah, because Anakin's 9 years old and he can win a pod race. But that's not Garrett's doing.
Oh, he can blow up a whole droid control.
And I'm not even complaining about that. It's fine. It's silly, but it's fine. It's Star Wars, but you know, but Ray, what? A woman?
All right,
but anyway, that's another point. Anyway, that was spectacular. That's all I had to really say. Yeah. It was spectacular. And did you notice, we'll get into it deeper later, but did you notice that once Dani makes the decision to do what she does, you never see a close-up of her again? The last half an hour is just not her. Like, you don't see her at all. Mm-hmm. She's like the faceless enemy now. It was all about, you had her decision, she was center frame, and then she makes a decision, and the last half an hour is seriously just showing the devastation of what she's doing.
So we're on to Dani?
Well, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it showed the devastation. Like, there's no coming back from this now. No matter what she says next week, there's no coming back where you go, well, you can be queen and I'm happy about it. She might be queen by the end if it's an unhappy ending, but there's no happy ending where she sits on the throne now.
I thought it was a really suspenseful moment when...
Great.
When
she's getting trampled on, like the Battle of the Bastards?
When?
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up when Arya's getting trampled on.
Now.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, now we can move on. That was spectacular. Move on to Dani. I got like 2 pages on Dani.
When the soldiers, like, the King's Landing soldiers just surrendered, which I thought was a great moment. And you could see how, like, happy John was about it because he didn't want the bloodshed. And then the bell rang. And you knew what was going to happen. The people that were watching, I can't believe it was, like, such a big surprise. I knew what was going to happen.
It was inevitable. Yeah. That's what was so suspenseful about it. It's not meant to be a twist now.
Yeah.
The fact that it was a twist for some people is just like, whatever.
That 2 minutes where everything was silent for a second and you just hoped and you wanted everything just to end, knowing that it wouldn't. I just thought it was...
Well, she already won.
They were playing... I can't remember that. What's the name of the music that I love?
I've only seen it once. I don't remember it now, to be honest.
It was very similar to the music from the episode of the finale of season...
Oh, 6. I heard moments of that. The one where she blows up the sept.
Yeah.
I heard that every now and then.
I've got that on my Spotify. I really like that song.
I don't remember what it's called, but it's great.
But it was just... I thought it was a great scene because you watched it and you had this moment of hope, but you knew that it was all going to go to hell. And unfortunately, because we've been talking about it, and apparently most of the people on the internet didn't realize, we knew Daenerys was going to be the one to make it go...
It was inevitable. It was inevitable, and that's what makes it so powerful. I think they did it perfectly. Honestly, they've been building this for 8 years, and it's been getting worse and worse. And like I said in episode 2, my prediction for the Long Night, my number one prediction for the Long Night after episode 2 was they're going to kill Jorah, because if you kill Jorah and she's got no one to rein her in,
and
it's
then
they're
going to Sunday as well. Like, she was her best friend as well. So
who did her hair? I mean, how's she going to get her hair done now? Like, you saw at the beginning of this episode. I must admit, Emilia Clarke at the beginning of this episode, she looked all ragged, like haven't been sleeping, haven't been eating. And I thought, God, you're an attractive woman, Emilia Clarke. I would still bend the knee to her. Hope she doesn't burn me.
Yeah, well, you know,
your grace. Kill you. Do anything, anything you want, your grace.
All right, so tell me about Dani. You've got 2 pages on
Dani. Oh, only because it's... I've been predicting this for years, so it's not out of nowhere. I mean, I'm baffled by the people that say it's out of nowhere. It's like, what show have you been watching? But I've always had to listen to people justify her burning the Tarleys alive. Like, she had no choice. Yes, she had a fucking choice. Not to burn the head of a family and the heir out alive. You can burn the head, maybe. Like, kill the head if she doesn't want to bend the knee, but you don't kill the heir. You keep that house there. I don't know if I said it on the podcast now. I can't remember what I've said on the podcast, off the podcast. And I know this might sound really big and the opposite of what some people say in the world, but I think Daenerys is the best written female character in the history of fantasy. I haven't read every fantasy ever. I'm talking about Lord of the Rings and all the stuff you see in the cinema and all that stuff. And I think that she's arguably one of the most complex and interesting characters that's female or male, but I'm going to just talk about the female here for now, like ever in cinema history. Anything history, because she is so complicated that I think my theory, and I brought it up before like weeks ago, but I'm going to bring it up again. My theory is that people can't handle how complex she actually is, because the show starts off, the book she's 13, the show she's 18, whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. She's young. The show starts off with her being abused by her brother, sold into basically like sold as a piece of meat, raped, you know, continuously, like on her wedding night, like continuously. Like, she's vulnerable and she's someone you sympathize with, like, unless you're a fucking psycho. And then she triumphs over it. We've seen her grow. Like, she fights back, bites back, and she's beautiful. Like, that's a big thing too. Emilia Clarke is a beautiful woman as well. So you've got this, in fantasy tropes, you've got 3 sort of characters, in my opinion. Like, in the Tristan fantasy, you've got the maiden, Arwen in Lord of the Rings, like, just like there for the man. And she's perfect and bubbly. You've got the straight out villain that's no depth at all. Like, she's just black. She's just evil. She's the bad one. Or you've got the perfect good hero. That's a female. You've got nothing in between, because people are too afraid. And you can see it sometimes in how they treat females in like even though I love Star Wars, how they sometimes are afraid to dirty raise hands mm-hmm. in Star Wars.
But they never did that with really Luke or anything.
Well, they kind of did. He was a cocky, overconfident person. They got humbled in episode 5. I'm saying you have to make him an arsehole. Mm. I'm saying that they're afraid to push her down and make her... Like, Luke had moments in Return of the Jedi mm-hmm. where he was genuinely in the dark side, and if it wasn't for the sins of his father saving him, he would have turned dark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you will ever see that with Rey mm-hmm. because she goes to the dark side and she just resists it easily. Mm-hmm. So what we've got here is you've got Dany. She starts off as a victim. She's beautiful. She's young. So we all follow her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, this is like the hero of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially female audiences, I believe, because they're not used to watching female characters written with this much depth. So every time she does something bad, they're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. She burns, she crucifies 160 Martyrs. Oh, yeah, 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 it doesn't matter. She burns this guy down, burns this guy for no reason. Oh, yeah, no. They just ignore all the depth because they're just so focused on the fact that, you know, we want female representation and we want someone who's just the perfect hero that she started out to be. And I think that's where the reactions come from. We're not used to female characters written with this much depth, where they're not perfect people
mm.
in this sort of fiction. I'm not saying you've never had depth in female characters in the history of cinema, but you certainly haven't had it in fantasy.
Yeah.
There's no fantasy character to compare that. I know. I mean, there's 100 novels in the world. The, you know, Lord of the Rings and the big stuff, The Hobbit, the mm. big stuff. There has never been a female character like this because she does good things, but she's not perfectly good, and she does evil things, and she's not perfectly evil. And she snaps and does horrible things now. But how can that be when she starts off like this innocent victim?
Mm.
And I think people can't grasp that. And I honestly think in retrospect, when people get their expectations out of their head and they watch it in 10 years' time and you see the progression really close together, you'll realize that she's an amazingly well-written character. Like, she's like probably the most interesting character, hands down, in the show now. Like, in the, and there's been a lot of interesting characters, but her journey is incredible.
Mm.
And I just, do you think I have any, do you think I'm kind of right about the fact that people don't know how to react to a female character that's got this much flaws in this kind of fantasy thing, and that's where the reaction's coming from?
I don't know. Think about that. I know. I definitely think people have ignored a lot of the bad things in it.
Would they have ignored the bad things if she was a man? I don't think they would have.
I think it happens.
Like, maybe. Because Jon Snow's... I'm baffled by anyone who thinks she would be a better king or queen than Jon Snow, when Jon Snow has literally done nothing evil ever.
Think of all the guys that have done bad things.
But he's an idiot. He's an idiot, though. Like, she'd be a better ruler if she wasn't nuts. Done
hugely bad things in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, no.
And turned out all right. Like, I'm sure they all cried over Theon dying a few episodes ago.
Yeah, but that's a different kettle of fish here than her being like, a lot of people thought she was the ultimate hero, and I was watching the show going, she's a great character, and she's, like I said, the most interesting character in the show, but there is no happy... I've been saying it for a while now.
And her intentions
There is no happy ending where she
thought her intentions were good. I think her intentions have always just been queen.
The best villains,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of a villain now,
mm-hmm.
the best villains in the history, in any medium
mm-hmm.
in the world, books, TV, everything, are the people that are not the bad guys of their story.
Yeah.
But there's no denying it now. And that's what makes her so compelling and interesting. She's an amazing character. And this was written in stone since she watched her brother die. And her brother was an asshole. But she watched her brother die so cold. That's a cold reaction.
Mm.
And you can argue, okay, his brother's an asshole. And that's true. But then two episodes later, when she convinced Khal Drogo to take over the world for her, he's talking about murdering all these people. He's talking about raping all these women and taking all these slaves. And she is so turned on, she can't wait to mount him.
Mm.
And if that's not already like warning signs, like, okay, this girl's a psycho.
Mm.
I mean, that's what makes her so compelling. Like, she fights her impulses all the time. And what the show's done so well is that they've made it... she's always fighting her impulses. And if she has the right people around her, she's actually always... She's done bad things, but then she's backed off.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did this season of the show is they killed her two dragons. Jorah dead.
Mm-hmm.
Her other advisor's dead. The two advisors that are still alive are traitors to her right now. One she knows of, one is happening, and she mm-hmm. kind of doesn't trust him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She has Jon Snow, who's taken her claim. Like, mm-hmm. she believed in her...
She doesn't trust Jon Snow at all. But she says she loves him, but God, doesn't seem like
it. Not anymore, maybe mm-hmm. at one stage.
Mm-hmm.
But she believed the whole time that this was my claim. I the reason why I was unburnt is because, you know, I am destined to rule the kingdom because I am the last Targaryen. Oh, no, you're not only not the last Targaryen. There's a Targaryen that outranked you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Her army has been decimated. Mm-hmm. Even though she's trying to help people. Like, in the goodness of her heart, she is trying to help people sometimes.
And the North
don't trust fucking her. Don't care. And you can understand why they don't care. That's what's so good about the show. You can understand why the Starks don't trust the Targaryen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're angry at Jon for bending the fucking knee. Like, you can understand. That's what's so good about the show, is that you can understand everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to the point where Dany's like, she's had these worst impulses, and they've thrown everything at her, possible. Like, possible. I can't think of one other thing they could have thrown at her to get her to this moment. And she even realizes in this episode that I can never rule like you. No one will ever love me like you. I have to rule with fear, which is important to what she does next.
Mm-hmm.
So when I hear people say, and I want to get into more details later too, but when I hear people say that it comes out of nowhere, I don't get it. I don't get it. And that's why I come up with my theory of that, because it's this sort of character in this sort of fiction, they're not used to this character existing. So they've just, well, they've ignored everything.
I don't know if it's just a female thing. I don't think it's hard to watch a character that, you know, mostly, you know, is trying to do the right thing and has gone over these hardships and watch them for 7 years and then watch them make, you know.
It's kill, tragic. Like, it's sad and it's tragic.
I think it's fine. I think Game of Thrones is meant to be tragic.
Well, yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And let's say quickly before I forget, Emilia Clarke. The last few episodes, she's just been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got some of the signs I wrote down here. Let me see. The ones I haven't mentioned yet. Other signs throughout the show that people were missing. First season, she helps. Like, you know, after her husband told her, I'm going to rape everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah. Like, yeah. She goes through a village, if you remember season one, and she sees all these women, all these men getting murdered, all these women getting raped continuously by the Dothraki. And she's like, no, I can't have this. Mm-hmm. Because every now and then she's not a, like I said, she's not truly evil. She, mm-hmm. Once she sees the consequence, she can't stand for it. So she's telling the Dothraki, you can't rape these women anymore. I'm going to protect you. And then you get Mira Mazdur, if you remember, the woman she helped.
Yeah.
And she thinks, because I helped you, I'm entitled to your loyalty now, which she's had her whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Later on too, but this is early on. She said, I helped you. I saved you. What? And then she betrays her and kills Khal Drogo. And she's like, well, I helped you. What the hell? I mean, how can you not love me now? And she says, you know, I saw all these friends of mine murdered before you came and helped me. I was raped already multiple times before you came and helped me. And then what does she do to that person? Her revenge is to burn her alive. And I understand, like, she's angry because of Khal Drogo, but she burnt her alive in such a cold way. Mm. And then she didn't even know she was unburnt and she walked into the fucking fire too. So I don't know if that's your screws that might be a little bit loose when she does that. Did she really think she was going to come out? That's another one. She threatens Karth in season two. When they won't let her in, I'm going to murder all of you. Mm. But she had a little dragon. She couldn't do it yet. She always threatens genocide. Like, every season she does it every few episodes. But no, she's perfect. She murders everyone when she gets the Unsullied. Now, they're slave owners, so we don't care.
Yeah.
Because they're assholes. But she doesn't even pay for it. Like, she gets them, and then she murders all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't care because they're slave owners.
Eh.
But she did literally murder everyone when she didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one of the things. She crucified, like, 160-plus masters in the most torturous way possible. And you go, yeah, they own slaves. But then you get that guy a few episodes later, if you remember, he says, you killed this guy, and this guy was actually fighting for the slaves' rights.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want slavery anymore, but you killed him just because of how he was born.
Mm.
And she butchered these people, but because they're not characters we know, we were like, hey, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, I was
like, warning signs, but everyone else was like, hey, who gives a fuck? But she literally crucified like 160 people. She burns all the Kulls alive. Now, she could have escaped. Jorah came in there to rescue her. She could have escaped, but she chooses to go back and she murders all of the cows, burns them alive, so she can have the big army. She just does it. That's what Dany did. But we don't know these people, so we never connected to it. But then all of a sudden she comes to Westeros, and like the beginning of season 7, episode 3, when this is not her murdering people, but when she meets Jon. I mean, if you needed more of an idea that she's a narcissist sociopath that believes in herself so much, and why Jon is clearly the hero in these sort of stories more, is when she comes, when they meet each other, and Missandei reveals every name, because when Dany does something like Mira Mazdoo in season one, what, I saved you. How can you not love me? So she wants to know, I'm burnt. I break her chain. She wants everyone to know everything she's done.
And Jon is just,
and Jon's king of the North.
Yeah.
And then when they bring up that he died for his people, he doesn't want anyone to talk about it. The opposite. She wants everyone to know she was the unburnt.
Mm-hmm.
But Jon doesn't want to talk about anything. Like, She doesn't even know when she goes into that fire that she's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the books. It's different in the books to what happens. The books and the show are actually different, and I want to mention why the books are better in a minute.
Mm.
Hopefully I remember that. But she always wants to mention how unburnt she is. It's her divine prophecy made her unburnt. And Jon came back to life, and he says last week when Tormund says, he came back to life. He's like, yeah, well, it wasn't my choice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so humble.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so clear that I'm baffled by anyone who thinks that there was never a happy ending with her on the throne. Never.
Mm.
And that's not me hating the character or disliking the character. She's a fucking amazing character. But that's the happy ending of the show. It never happens with her on the throne.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Tarleys.
Mm.
And some people defend this, but she murdered like...
No, I always even... Yeah, I found that a little bit...
And I was scared at first because I thought they were going to murder the Tarleys and then forget about it two episodes later, but they haven't. Now, she murders Lord Tarly and she murders his heir. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go into the history of the show and the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Her father, the Mad King, did the same. Years and years ago, the Mad King summoned Lord Stark, the head of the house, and who was Ned's father, and Ned's older brother, the heir to Winterfell, to King's Landing. He choked to death the heir to Winterfell in front of his dad, and then burnt Lord Stark. He burnt him alive. The similarities to what his daughter ends up doing to the Tarleys is on purpose. It's not a coincidence. Then you've got, like, in season six, you've got... Ramsay.
Yeah.
And when Ramsay's going around trying to... Oh, was it season five? It might be season five. I don't know. It's one of those seasons. I think it's five. Bruce Bolton has a go at Ramsay because he's going around, because now they've got Winterfell, and he's going around, and if people don't want to pay taxes and don't want to, like, bend the knee to the Boltons, he's basically murdering the house.
Yeah.
He's murdering the heads of the house and their family. And Roose is saying, you know, you can't just go around murdering people. And when Ramsay does it, it's bad. Mm-hmm. When the Mad King does it, it's bad. But when Dany does it, oh no, what else she had to do? She did literally the same thing. It's not, this isn't bad writing. This is on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing the same thing that these villains of the show have done. And then you've got the same as, like, Joffrey in season one. Everyone tells her, like, exactly what happens here with Tyrion when she wants to burn the Tarleys, where Cersei is, like, saying, you know, we'll let Ned Stark go to the war. Yeah, do not kill Ned Stark. But Joffrey was a fucking idiot, and he killed Ned Stark, and he started the War of the Five Kings that killed thousands of people.
Yep.
And killed himself by the end of it. And she did the same thing where she's getting her advisor saying, don't do this, you're making it worse. And she does the same thing, but she continuously got forgiven by so many people.
Yeah.
And it never made sense to me. Like, are you fucking... like? When I had to read all these posts online of people saying this is why she had to burn them alive, like, are you kidding? Like, she had to murder these people. She had to do it. Think about what you're saying. Like,
and now people are shocked.
And people are saying, like, oh, you know, she's always had these bad intentions. Yeah, sometimes she's gone over, but most of the time she doesn't do it. And that's true. Most of the time she didn't do it. I said, what's great about her that separates her from her dad? I said in episode one this year on the podcast, I said, what separates her is that she listens to her advisors, which gives her hope.
Mm-hmm.
But what this show did is take everyone away from her.
Yep.
That's why I thought there was still hope, because I didn't want her to turn.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was inevitable. Yeah, anyway, so people are always saying, oh, you know, she fights her urges. She doesn't always burn everyone alive. And I'm like, think about this for a second. Would you want someone on the throne or the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Australia who every Wednesday nearly commits genocide?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that seriously the happy ending? Like, that is just so baffling. And that's why I really do think... Well, that's why my theory...
Do they have a dragon?
That's why I'm really baffled by the people who are shocked by this turn. Like, what fucking show have you been watching for 8 years? And it's not even belittling her. Like, some people, oh, it fails the women of the show. No, it doesn't. It treats her like every other character. Instead of making her perfect, it makes her in-depth and complicated and interesting.
Mm.
It makes her way more interesting than some perfect heroine.
Mm-hmm.
She's way more interesting now than if she just came here and was perfect.
Yeah.
Forever, she's so...
She's not like a... I mean, she's been villainous, but I don't think she's like a...
No, she's
villain. She's...
No, she's not. Until now, it's hard.
Mm.
This is the worst thing she's ever done.
Yeah, like, because now. She didn't have to do it.
No, but she says she has to rule with fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she snapped.
But she was about to rule, and then she...
But
did
she,
it anyway.
I think it was like, it was weird. It's like she snapped, but it was also calculating. Like she says, I can't rule. I have to scare these people to death.
Mm.
She has to do what, you know, everyone writes all flowery about Aegon the Conqueror. But if you read the story of Aegon the Conqueror, or hear the story of Aegon the Conqueror, he came around burning people until they bent the knee.
Mm-hmm.
Their motto is fire and fucking blood, not flowers and hugs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Targaryen way. There's nothing shocking about Targaryens burning people alive to get the rule as tyrants. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they got the rule. Before, it was thousands of years of the Andals ruling, and then the Targaryens came in and burnt fucking everyone who didn't want to bend the knee. Like, this is what they do. And that's, I mean, I didn't even read my notes. I wrote like 2 pages, but I think that was basically my notes in general about, I wanted to explain why this makes sense and it's tragic and it's amazing. And
really,
I'm so happy. This ending is so bold. It's the opposite of Breaking Bad's ending, which was just so scared to do anything bold by the end.
Mm.
The last episode was so like, oh, he's a good guy, and oh, it's all happy ending. Like,
let's give Walt a happy ending.
Which
happy
he didn't deserve. He didn't deserve.
Mm.
I always think the show should have ended an episode earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And tragic and sad. I don't get the reaction to this.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. Oh, and then I read some other people. This is a criticism I saw online that I wanted to fight.
Yeah.
I read a criticism, like, I don't know where I read this criticism, but I wrote a note for it. Where someone said, all the damage that happened on King's Landing, it should have been the Night King. How much better would it have been if it's the Night King?
Oh, fuck that.
No, it's not better if it's the Night King. Are you fucking clueless?
The Night King was boring as hell.
Like, it was cool when it was happening, but this isn't better as the Night King. Mm. The Night King destroying this is not better. It's just like a faceless evil doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Your hero did this. The turn, like, Daenerys Stormborn did this. That is so much more interesting than the Night King. When I was watching this episode, because I always thought everything was going to culminate in episode 5 with the Night King and Cersei and everything.
I thought that too. And I was kind of hoping the Night King would be part of it.
But when I was watching this episode and I saw what was happening, I didn't know they were going to have the guts to go like full on like, no, this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to skirt around the issue. I thought they were going to be too afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were doing it, I thought, well, that's why you killed the Night King 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is so much fucking better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is so much better. Even Cersei was kind of pointless to this last story.
Yeah.
It wasn't about her either.
It's about Daenerys. Yeah. Fucking murdering everyone.
It's so great. The worst thing that I feel sad about is that D&D are going to feel that people hate it. And I want them to know that I don't.
But
because this is so good.
But even so even they said, and like some of the actors said, like, not everyone's going to be happy with the ending. I think they knew. I think they're smart enough to know.
Well, isn't it great? I think it's so great in the world that we live in where so many things play it safe. And when you see the reactions to The Last Jedi, and when you see the reaction to this, we know why they play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that the biggest show of all time said, nah, fuck it. This is our ending.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Well, they can apparently sway too much from George R. R. Martin.
And that's the other thing too. Doesn't it fit perfectly in the story that we're talking about? What did you think you were watching when Ned dies in season 1 and the Red Wedding happens? And like the walk, like, what do you think you were watching?
Look, Danny and John can still end up together happily ever after.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anymore. Yeah, I don't think so.
Did you notice? Okay, now that I'm done with my Danny stuff, you got something you want
to
say about Danny?
No, it was good. I don't have anything to add.
Oh, I'm tired after that. Did you notice that the vision that Bran had in, I don't know what season he had, maybe, I can't remember what season, but he had a vision at one stage when he was becoming the Three-Eyed Raven and he saw lots of images, and one of the images was a dragon flying over King's Landing, and this episode had the exact same shot from the vision that he had like 4 years ago.
No, I can't remember that at all.
It's the exact same shot, unless it's not, but it looked like the same shot. So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Is that it for my visions? The ash? Oh, and the ash.
Oh, yeah.
In season 2, episode 10, when she's in the House of the Undying, Daenerys has a vision of like the throne room at King's Landing, like half destroyed, and it looks like snow is falling down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a shot in this episode where you see Arya standing in the streets and you see what looks like snow, but it's ash falling down. So clearly that's what it was. It was ash in her vision. It wasn't snow. We thought it was snow because it's called ice and fire. No one ever said it wasn't snow. No one said it was ash or not. But it was clearly, I wouldn't be shocked if next week there's a part where she walks into that throne room and she sees the ash coming down like that. So next up, we already kind of talked about it, but I want to say Grey Worm really quickly. Like, I was, once again, talk about bold. The fact that you take a character that's been victimized and then he fell in love, and it was a really nice love story.
We love Grey Worm.
And you turned him into like, I found him very unlikable when he did this. Angry. In a good way. But it's still unlikable. Like, I found, when he started fighting again, which John didn't do, so John didn't have to follow the queen that he bent his knee to, but Grey Worm was angry. And when I saw him start the fight again, and then I'm watching scenes of like Northmen trying to rape a woman and kids dying.
He wasn't doing the
right thing. I know, but he started it again. He was part of this. This is what happens when you sack. We've had the story, when you sack cities, this is what happens.
Yeah.
Men turn into animals and do horrible things. And I just thought to myself when I was seeing, maybe it's unfair. No, it's not fucking unfair. Fuck him. When I was watching people get, I was watching women and children get murdered, defenseless people, you know, getting attacked. And I thought, did that little girl murder Miss Sunday, Grey Worm? I was thinking this in my head. Oh, did that woman who's about to get raped murder Miss Sunday?
He wasn't thinking.
But
he
started again. He started again. It's horrible. Like, I didn't.
He'd found love and it was, look, I'm not saying he did the right thing. I'm just saying.
Because Jon Snow didn't do it. Jon Snow didn't do it.
Yeah, was Jon Snow the only one that realized he was wrong? But why isn't the other soldiers like thinking, yeah, no, we shouldn't be doing this?
Because I guess you've got to follow your leaders. Grey Worm's the leader of the Unsullied and everyone else.
So Jon Snow is the only one that doesn't. No one else does.
Well, Jon Snow's great. That's why we love him.
Jon Snow doesn't. It's heartbreaking from that he killed his own soldier to like protect that woman. It's just.
Not heartbreaking when that arsehole was about to rape her.
Yeah, I know. So, but I mean, the fact that it came to that, I think, would be heartbreaking to him.
Yeah, it's chaos. And Grey Worm didn't. Like, I know he was following his queen and all that, but it made me angry at the time. I was angry at both of these people.
No, Grey Worm wasn't following his queen. He was angry as well.
And I just didn't. Like, you know, those innocent people. I mean, it's easier when it's soldiers, I guess. But those innocent people that got sacked after because he started the fight again. Like, and Danny did
too.
Well,
the fight was already. Danny had already started it.
But it just made me angry because those people didn't kill Missandei.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. And it made me so angry. I wanted John to kill him. I honestly wanted John to like have a fight with him to stop it.
No, I didn't.
I was kind of semi frustrated at John's, but I know this is what John always is, so this is his character. But I was semi frustrated at John's semi weakness this episode. Like, I can't imagine him killing Danny. I don't know how he can do it. He loves her.
John turned against some of his soldiers. That's, I mean, I know, you know.
They're stopping, like, someone get raped. Yeah. I mean, I think everyone would turn.
But that's still, like, killing your own soldiers. That's, like, you'd get killed by Danny.
Isn't that interesting? You got the Unsullied, you got the Dothraki of the worst, but it's actually the Northman doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you sack cities. It was just, it made me very angry at Grey Worm. Mm-hmm. But not in a, like, bad, oh, I hate how he's written way. That was his character. Mm-hmm. I think it's incredibly bold and tragic to make him born into slavery, a victim. He had the nicest love story probably in the show with Brienne and Brienne and Jamie for one episode. Yeah. Half an episode.
Well, I think last week to turn him into one of the only honourable people at the show.
It was so bold to do that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are going to get angry. Oh, how can you do that? But that's why it's great storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes you feel something.
You're angry and you need to take your anger out in people, and he's just...
It made me so angry and he threw the spear.
Mm-hmm.
Because John didn't do it. Mm-hmm. That's why John is the greatest character the show has ever...
But John doesn't want people to die. Oh. John's honourable.
I love John so much. But you have to love him now. He's the only honourable, full-on honourable character.
Is there anyone that can be king?
Oh, yeah.
I don't...
Maybe you say that for you. Like, he's the only hero of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
But John can't be king on his own. He's not good enough.
He needs hand.
Tyrion as a hand, but someone as good as a hand.
He just has to listen to people. Mm-hmm. And then, okay. Oh, now we'll get into the prediction for next week for a minute. And we can sum up. But I didn't come up with this prediction.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah,
I was watching a review.
I've been doing this for a while. Yeah.
I was watching a review on... on TYT, Game of Thrones review, and they read out a tweet by someone.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't know who that tweet is. I thought it was so cool. Now think about this, next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually remember the trailer from next week's episode,
I do. I've seen it a couple of times.
Okay.
Which doesn't show much.
So Jon and Ned are now mirroring each other.
Mm-hmm.
So Daenerys is going to kill Jon the same way that they killed Ned.
Yeah.
They're going to behead him.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Ilyn Payne is now going to be Grey Worm doing the beheading.
Mm-hmm.
And now Arya Stark is in the crowd like she was in season one.
Mm-hmm.
But in season one, she was 9 years old, too young, and couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But now she's actually going to be in the crowd before the beheading, and she's going to stop the beheading. And I got chills in the back of my mind. Like, I was imagining like Jon Snow about to die, and then fucking Arya like killing like at least Grey Worm.
Yeah.
And I got chills. I don't know if I explained it properly, but I got chills with the idea of that mirroring each other.
Yeah,
like, she's in the crowd watching her father die, and 8 years later in the show, eight seasons later, she's in the crowd, but this time she's got the skills to save Jon.
Mm-hmm.
So she might kill Grey Worm, and then Jon has to deal with Dany separately, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't think she could kill Dany. Well, she could, I guess.
I find it. Danny's got, I mean, you've seen the trailer. She's got a big army, and a lot of that army is just going to follow her. Like, how do they stop her in one episode?
Well, I don't. And the Unsullied and the Dothraki are not going to follow Jon.
No, they're not.
So there is. There's only one episode.
My theory.
There's only one episode.
I don't know for sure if Jon's going to be a leader, but if he is.
Well, might not. The show likes subverting
now. My only thought is he's going to have the dragon on his side, the dragon's going to take his side. Drogon is going to turn against Daenerys.
Well, he is.
And going to join Jon, because Jon is the true.
Oh, and while I remember this, because you say true and all that, this is what the books did better than the show. Mm-hmm. I just remembered it now. In the show, she's unburnt. Fire doesn't hurt her ever. In the books,
but in the books, that's not the truth.
That's not the case, and it's better.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about the Mad Queen, like when she goes into that pyre, when she burns Drogo, Khal Drogo, and the woman that she's having revenge for, she goes into that fire expecting to die. So she goes in to die, and the only reason she survives, they say, like, you don't really know, but the idea is that it, like, something magical happened when those dragons were born, so she survived. But she's not unburnt now. She can get burnt now. Mm-hmm. That's why, and in the show, they just made it very confusing where they made her the unburnt, but I think it's much better storytelling that if they kept it as in a one-off thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now that she's unburnt, there is something in her that's special, but if it was just because of the dragon being born magic in the books... Her believing so much in her destiny is more crazy now.
Yeah.
Because she's not actually unburnt.
Yeah.
It was just a special moment that happened because of the dragons, not because of her in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a mistake. They should have kept her not unburnt then. Because when you think about it, with her love affair with herself, it fits more that if it's actually not her being unburnt, but like a special event.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to mention that. I wrote here in my notes, tell Chris my theory. I keep on forgetting to say this in the pod. Now I think I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm wrong, but this is my semi-theory.
Mm-hmm.
And my semi-theory is this. They announced that, you know, there's 6 episodes this season.
Yeah.
And then we know that next week there's a 2-hour documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And every week on YouTube, I've been watching, it's great. They have Game of Thrones Revealed where they have like 30, 40-minute documentaries on every episode.
Yeah.
And they're great. So I'm thinking, what the hell do you do in a 2-hour documentary? And my theory is that that's actually another episode. and that they're gonna, you're gonna be watching this episode. No, I think I'm wrong, but yeah, I'm gonna say wrong. I'm wrong. But wait, just how cool would this be? You're watching the episode and you're like, oh my god, how's this gonna end in 20 minutes? And then something shit hits the fan. You go, fuck, oh shit, no! And then it cuts to black. And you go, next week on the final episode of Game of Thrones, and it's like a secret final episode, so they can throw like something, they can throw a curveball at you at the end of the next week's episode.
No, that's not gonna happen.
I know, but how cool would that be?
If it would be cool, but it's not.
Would you
happen.
Be excited if that happened?
I'd be fucking amazed if that happened. But that's too risky for HBO.
I don't know how they can. Oh, everyone would watch still. They can bitch as much as they want, but the ratings, they bitch as much as they want after episode 3, but the ratings were like just like slightly down from Long Night, which was the most watched episode of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still like the second most watched episode ever, episode 4 last week. Like, they can bitch as much as they want, but everyone's watching.
Yeah, of course.
I would love that. Because I keep on watching, like, how do you end this? Like, how do you end this? And I don't need a happy ending. Actually, you can't have a happy ending now. It's impossible.
Well, it's an hour and a half. It's basically a movie, so...
But it's just so interesting, because I can't... That's what's so exciting about the show. It was like watching this episode halfway through with Arya and the Hound going, what the fuck happens next?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many possibilities. Like, I can't even... Like, next week, like, what the hell happens?
Yeah,
like,
I have
no idea. And I know there's a leak online, and I'm not going to read it, obviously.
What, there's a leak?
Episodes leaked, but I don't know how true they are. I'm not even going to read it.
Yeah, I don't want to read it.
But, like, I just... It's so exciting right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I this will be my sum up. I feel genuine pity for the people who can't enjoy this. And I'm genuinely baffled that you can't enjoy this. I don't know what is wrong with this. Like, I don't know what people are... I watch this and I go, this is not just good and I don't understand it. Like, last week was good. Last week was good and a bit of a mess.
I actually liked last week a lot.
Me too. Yeah, but it was a bit of a mess on my repeat viewing, but it's still great. Mm-hmm. Still a great show. But if you talk about a movie that's rushing, that episode was rushed a bit in parts in the second half, but still really good. But this episode, I watch it and it's so... This is my sum up now. So technically amazing. It's so suspenseful. It's so exciting. I think they literally ended every story arc this episode, like the Hound and everything, and Cersei and Jaime, not the way we expected, but perfectly. Like, I can't imagine a better way. This is why I don't write and I talk about it. Because they're better than me. And that's why they do it and I don't. And I just think it was so suspenseful, so visually spectacular, so exciting. It paid off.
When people feel 8 years of build up. The character that they loved.
But I don't feel betrayed because I love Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting. And it's not like it's unearned. I just went through it for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's not unearned. So I don't want to get into it again. It's just so good. And when I would give this... this is the first episode this year I'd give a perfect score. And I think this is the best episode ever of the show, nearly. And I'm very raw right now. I've got to rewatch it again. There's been a lot of great episodes.
I don't think it's the best episode of the show, but I thought it was amazing when I was...
Because what it has an advantage of is that it's visually spectacular more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big advantage. And second of all, it had conclusions that I'm so satisfied with. Like, the Hound Arya scene was like my favorite moment of the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so happy. And Cersei and Jaime, holy crap. Daenerys, you know, them going, fuck it, we're going all for it. And they just, you know, they do that with Grey Worm. They do that with Daenerys. Like, god damn it was good. And I feel bad that the legacy of the show is going to be like, it was really good until the final season sucked. Because that's what it's going to seem like. And that's just so wrong.
Mm.
Like, how is this, like, right now on Rotten Tomatoes, unless it's changed, this is the worst reviewed episode ever. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're telling... No, I'm not getting into that.
Yeah. I disagree.
I just don't understand it. Like, people don't appreciate... I don't think... I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like...
We've done this a lot.
I get annoyed by podcasts that have blind love for things, but I don't think I have blind love for this show. I mean, season 7 was me criticizing half of it, even though I still love it. And season 8, there's still stuff to criticize, but now I'm more forgiving because there's some bad plotting here.
I'm forgiving of the speed.
But this episode, there's no real moment for... I mean, I know you... I didn't really feel any of that. I thought it was... just a monumental achievement on television and deserves every award it wins, if it wins it, unless everyone hates it now because it's the cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. 5 out of 5, the best thing that's released this year. The best thing released this year. Nothing. Avengers Endgame made me cry a lot more, but this was better. But I liked Endgame a lot, so I don't want to pay down. I loved Alita, but this was better. And probably because I care about these characters so much.
Yeah.
Just spellbinding television.
Yeah,
I do think in 10 years' time, when everything settles,
mm-hmm.
I think... appreciation will go up for the whole thing. This is amazing.
As long as we're enjoying it, that's the main thing.
Well, that's actually true. That's why I broke my own rules of not wanting to talk about other people too much. Mm-hmm. But
we definitely broke it.
But not by that much. Actually, how long did I rant for? How long is this pod? Let's have a look. Oh, shit. It's probably really long now. Oh, yeah, it's long.
Let's close off.
Okay, so Chris, you want to sum up? That was my sum up.
I loved it. I thought it was a great episode. I actually remember watching it like halfway through, near the end, thinking this is... like 10 out of 10. I understand the issues. I do understand some of the issues. And I can understand why people would be upset. I can't understand worst episode or that sort of thing.
Or disowning the show.
But none of that bothered me at all. I loved it.
Because it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. And it's really weird. Last thing I'm going to say, and then we'll finish.
Yeah.
It's really weird that I just feel like there's a lot more hate online because of certain pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone I know in real life loved it. I don't know if we mentioned it on this pod or not. Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know in real life loved it. And I think this season's the best season since season 4 now. This was incredible, this episode.
Yeah,
the first two episodes were so... It was like a celebration of our characters.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of episode 4 was the same, where they had all these great character moments. Episode 3 was a visual masterpiece. Dark, but it was a masterpiece visually.
Yeah.
Like it was, and this was... And this was just... This was just...
Episode 3 is probably my least favourite episode of the season.
Well, I can understand if that is. It's not... I don't know what mine is. I like them all.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just another world. I hope they knock it out. Well, they have knocked it out of the park. I love it. Bye. Oh, wait. Not bye. Chris, do you want to tell people where they can find you? No, you don't, do you?
I don't have anywhere. I don't want people finding me.
Well, you can find me, Chris, and this podcast at www.moviemingler.com or on Facebook. Just type in Movie Mingler or on Twitter at Movie Mingler. We're also on iTunes. Go to type in Movie Mingler and write in iTunes. You'll find us there.
Movie Mingler?
Type in Movie Mingler on iTunes.
Okay.
I don't know what I said.
Sorry, I didn't know. No,
it is like 2 in the morning right now.
Yeah.
And I'm very emotional. Because it breaks my heart that I wish everyone was enjoying this more.
Next.
But I do really
We get it.
What was I saying? I can't remember now.
Everyone else sucks but us.
Or you go to moviemingler.com. You click on one of the podcast posts and there's a link that takes you straight to iTunes, a link straight to Facebook, and a link straight to Twitter. So you can go that way. Or you scroll up, triangle button, hear our voices. Or underneath, download podcast, save as MP3 forever. It's worth owning. And trust me, I listen to a lot of Game of Thrones podcasts, and I'm not going to toot my horn too much, but this is hands down the better podcast out there. And I actually mean that, because everyone is whinging like a little bitch. And
I think we're...
they are!
I think we're the best podcast, but that's completely biased. But go on.
And you can email me at nickdescalzi@gmail.com, which is nickdescalzi@gmail.com for all your Game of Thrones needs.
Awesome.
And did you know, obviously next week is the last ever episode of Game of Thrones, so we're going to have a Cast of Ice and Fire episode based on that, obviously. We'll just talk about that next week. But it's not over. Because after that, Tate's back from England. So about a month after the show finishes, we're going to have a big extravaganza reviewing this season mostly, but then, you know, talk about the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be so much fun.
Can I be part of that?
If you want.
Sounds good.
It'll be good to have 4 people. It'll probably be an epic. And then Cast of Ice and Fire will not be dying next year, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be covering the new Game of Thrones show. Unless it sucks after a while and I go, yeah, I don't want to cover it.
Wouldn't it be even more fun to cover it if it sucks?
Yeah, but it might get... But then I don't want to watch it on Monday every time. Yeah, because I don't watch... Most TV shows, I can wait a month to watch it or a year. But this show, you have to watch it straight away.
We differ in that respect.
Oh, I can. Because I don't watch a lot of television. I watch more movies.
I love that.
I love this. But anyway, bye.
Thank you.